بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. As I mentioned yesterday, we got consumed into the discussion of the previous night's recital, and due to the lack of time and time constraints, we were unable to select verses from the 15th juz. So time permitting, inshallah, there were few verses. I mean, the whole juz has so much to it, but there were few verses in particular that I wanted to speak about. Inshallah, I will endeavor to speak on that, and if time permits, then we will touch on to certain verses of the 16th juz. Amongst the many proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in the Quran that He is the absolute being, He is the only being, and He is the true being, Allah ta'ala has given different logical dimensions and arguments to the fact that monotheism, the doctrine of one Allah, and that is Allah who we refer to, is the absolute truth. Allah gives one in which we recited yesterday. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ مَعَهُ آلِهَةٌ قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ مَعَهُ آلِهَةٌ كَمَا يَقُولُونَ إِذَا لَبْتَغَوْا إِلَى ذِي الْعَرُشِ سَبِيلًا سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. One of the proofs that Allah, this is a logical argument. We don't need this logic, but as part of defense, if somebody argues with us, this is one of the proof that the Quran gives us. It's a known thing, it's an established fact that wherever there is some position, there is a power struggle. That's a reality. You don't have to talk about the president and the vice president, or the principal and the vice principal. In a small 2x2 organization where the members are more than the attendees, and even there is a fight for position. There's a tussle for a name, for a podium, for a platform. It's part of human nature. It's part of this year that I want the superior position. I want the senior position. I remember I went to one school which was very, very strange. So I don't know. It's a completely female-run school for kids, whatever. So I said, who do I speak to? Who's the principal? So the female teacher was, we all three are principals. So I said, no, I understand, but like this, the senior. No, we all three are equal. So, well, whatever it was, maybe to maintain the peace, or just to not to give superiority to one over the other, or nepotism or anything of that matter, but this is how they did it. But logically speaking, wherever there's any position, there's always a fight. One is trying to go up and try to drop someone else. So Allah said, if there were other gods, then obviously they would have also jumped on the bandwagon, and they would have also tried to topple the real Allah in the crave and in the passion to secure the most supreme position, absolute sovereign being over everything. I mean, people are fighting. Okay, what you fighting for? What's this organization? No, we haven't yet launched it, but I need to be in charge. No, but what's it all about? But that will happen afterwards. But at the moment, I'm seeking the senior position in the whole thing. People are fighting, what we talk of ministers without portfolios, fighting for things that are not tangible, that doesn't exist. So you can imagine the fight that would have occurred and happened in the heavens and the earth to overthrow the real being amongst the so-called gods. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ مَعَهُ آلِهَةٌ. Say unto them, if there were multiple gods alongside Allah. لَوْ كَانَ مَعَهُ آلِهَةٌ كَمَا يَقُولُونَ. As they allege and suggest. إِذَنْ then. لَبْتَغَوْا. Certainly they would endeavor. إِلَى ذِي الْعَرْشِ. To the being of the throne. سَبِيلَ. An avenue to overpower him. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذَا لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَاهِمْ بِمَا خَلَقَ وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Look at the beauty of the Quran. What happens when there is an argument at home and husband and wife break up? Then she takes her pots and pans, he takes his car, and they go, and whatever it is. Once I was in a talaq, and really I've been too many times in it, and it's not a pleasant occurrence, but you know, somebody has to go and people call you. And then they were now dissolving all the gifts. So okay, this gift, because it was a very short marriage, unfortunately. I said the other day in some talk, I said, we're living in a time that, you know what, if a couple hangs on into, you know, the old people used to say, you know, auntie passed away, alhamdulillah, 65 years. And I didn't want to change my old model for a new one, alhamdulillah.
They had this pride and this passion and they had this achievement. In today's time, if he's holding on 1 year, he already deserves a medal. In 2 years' time, you know what? We need to have a ceremony and give him a certificate. My brother, you're doing good, man. You're doing great. And same to the sister. If they have that amount of strength in them to keep that marriage for that much long, it's an achievement. So this relation was dissolved in the very initial stages. So I was called in, it was bitter, it was ugly, it was unpleasant. And then it's like, okay, this gift was given from your family, so you have it. This gift was given from my family, I'll take it. And then they divided everything between boxes, Kenwood, Magimix, mixing, well, all those type of things, microwave. But here comes those gifts that were given by people who are neutral and who knew both of them. And I promise you, you might think it's trivial. It got so ugly and bitter that nobody wants to relinquish. Nobody wants to, let's just move on. Like the Quran said, إِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. And I often say this to people, if you can't live with respect, at least end with respect. If you can't live with dignity, at least part with dignity. We're parting now. Now part with dignity. We couldn't stay together nice, it's ugly, it's bitter. But when we part in, let's part with dignity. But unfortunately, you know, we lack those things as well. So what happens when there's an argument? Each person takes his belongings and he goes. Exactly the Quran said. إِذَا لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَيْهِمْ بِمَا خَلَقْ وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضُ. If there were multiple gods, then surely, logically, it had to come into a blast and into a full-blown argument one day for this position. It had to happen. And then the logic, what would have happened? Each god would have taken what he created and walked away from the scene. And one would have tried to excel over the other, as happens. I mean, it happens in the smallest of organizations. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. But till today, nothing like that has happened. You know, you get to the shop there and you say, the shop is closed there. What's happening? Apparently, there's some major problems at home and that, and I think they're going through a divorce and all that. So, yeah, children are not coming to school and shop doesn't open on time and staff are told not to come. Like, did you get up in the morning? Like, no, sun is not rising. I think there's something happening. There's an argument or anything. Sun has been put on hold and the moon, there's just like chaos here. It's night, suddenly it's day. No. لَشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي. This is not a thumbsuck. This is not from my pocket. This is what the Quran says. لَشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرِ وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. Never did you see this erratic nature, this unexplained pattern that the sun just overtakes the moon. You know, just suddenly 12 o'clock at night, it becomes day. Or 12 o'clock at day, it becomes night. Allah says, كُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. Only I'm in control and I have it in its pattern and it's floating in its orbit for which I have created. The fact that there is continuity and there's rhythm and system is a proof that there exists no other gods but Allah. He's the absolute being. And we recited today, we recited in the 15 juz also, so amazing. Subhanallah. In fact, this is the first ayah that should be taught to a child when he develops the ability of speech. When a child develops the ability of speech, إِذَا أَفْصَحَ أَوْلَادُكُمْ فَعَلِّمُوهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ لَا تُبَالُوا مَتَى مَاتُوا أو كما قال. When your child develops the ability of speech, then first teach them لا إله إلا الله. But just not verbalize it or just not verbally transmit it to them, but impress upon them and engrave within them. Let it be embedded in them. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then you can push them out in the outside world. The La ilaha illallah that was taught to them in the initial stages will insulate them and protect them against whatever happens outside. But that has to be taught at the early stages. That is why when somebody came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ammar radiallahu anhu has become a kafir. Ammar radiallahu anhu has forsaken his iman. And that's a whole academic explanation that if you're under duress, at somebody threatens to kill your life, it's got to be an organ, to destroy an organ or to take your life. Then only, any less threat, then you cannot appease the person throwing the threat at you. So either the person says, I will break your nose off, and you need to have the conviction that he has the muscle to execute the threat. One is, you know, this guy, he blows hot air, he talks a lot, man, you know, and you'll blow him down. We're not talking of that. You know, that this guy, he went into the restaurant and he came out there and he sees somebody had painted his horse. So he's like full of anger and rage and he walks in there and he says, who painted my horse? So this massive, muscular, tough, robust guy walks out, I painted it. He say, yeah, okay, the first coat is dry, you can paint the next coat. He just softened everything. When he seen this guy all muscular and everything, he realized, by yeah, I stand nothing. So you can, you know, be loud and proud and all that, but when reality comes, it's a different story altogether. So they said, O Nabi of Allah, Ammar radiallahu anhu had made a statement of kufr. And he was told that say there's no Allah, otherwise we'll kill you. So Ammar radiallahu anhu said it. So when somebody came and narrated it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did I say? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, teach him kalima and then you can put him outside. What they say, insulate, and if you cannot insulate, inoculate, vaccinate, protect, give that correct injections. So Nabi Sallallahu said, kalla inna ammaran muli'a imanan wa akhtalata al-imanu bilahmihi wa damihi. No. My Ammar can never become a kafir. In your body there's blood. In my Ammar's body there's iman. Nabi Sallallahu didn't investigate it. Nabi Sallallahu refuted it. He said, no, it's not my Ammar. O Nabi of Allah, inna Ammar, in Madarik al-Tanzil, the whole narration is there. Inna Ammaran qad kafar. O Nabi of Allah, your companion Ammar, he said a statement of kalla. Nabi Sallallahu said, no, never. Inna Ammaran qad muli'a Ammar is brimming with faith. He just doesn't possess it, he's brimming with faith. وَاخْتَلَتَ الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّحْمِهِ وَدَمِهِ. And iman is in his bones and his flesh. And just then Ammar radiallahu anhu came running. O Nabi of Allah, I was put under pressure, I said it, but in my heart I knew Allah is the absolute truth. But I gave the explanation, if somebody says, I will punch you, say you, there's no Allah, you have to take the punch. If someone says, I'll kick you, you have to take the kick. If someone says, you lose your job, you have to lose your job. Only if the threat is, I will kill you, or I will destroy one limb, an organ of yours, and he has what it takes to execute the threat, then this is a concession. This is a concession. This is not obligatory. Ammar radiallahu anhu did this, but his father Yasir radiallahu anhu, he persevered and he was killed in the process. And then to confirm the scenario of Ammar radiallahu anhu and to endorse what he did, Allah revealed the verse, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌّ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. The one who's put under duress and pressure, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ, but his heart remains attached and firm and focused on iman, then he is excused. So the ayat al-kareema, I was talking about, you know, the greatness of Allah and Allah being the absolute being, we recited yesterday. Allah says, so amazing. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. The first ayah you should teach your child. You'll be like, you know, say Abi, Abi. Don't say Abi, say Ummi, say Ummi. Say Da, 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 say Da, Da. No, say Nani. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. This is how much networks in this poor child's brain going in, yeah. You know, he doesn't know what. Everyone is like, you know, like, hey, you know. And push, the, no, don't say Nana, don't say, say Allah, say Allah. My baby say Allah, learn Allah, sing Allah, praise Allah, him Allah, glorify Allah. My name, his name, her name, you learn it afterwards. Learn Allah's name. إِذَا أَفْصَحَ أَوْلَادُكُمْ. When your children develop the ability of speech, فَعَلِّمُوهُمْ فَعَلِّمُوهُمْ. Teach them La ilaha illallah. ثُمَّ لَا تُبَالُوا مَتَى مَاتُمْ. So what does Allah say? وَقُلْ, say, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. All praise belongs to Allah who has no children. Now, generally, you take assistance from three people. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. Sometimes you take assistance from your rival, someone equal to you, brother from a brother, you know, two partners in a business, and they doing, you know. Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah used to say, I just have a flash of his one statement. He said, the only ship that doesn't sail is a partnership. The only ship that doesn't sail is partnership. Anyway, you take assistance from your partner, from your equal, from your peer. So Allah refutes that. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. You take assistance from someone junior to you, from your child. So Allah doesn't have a child. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. You take assistance from someone equal to you. Allah says, and I have no partner in my kingdom. Then the common thing and the average thing and the general thing is you take assistance from someone senior to you.
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِّنَ الذُّلِّ.
And he has no guardian because of weakness on his part. So when you heard how he is, then how does Allah conclude it? فَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. Then say together, Allahu Akbar. Say Allahu Akbar, brothers. That's exactly what the Quran says. He hasn't taken assistance from a child. He doesn't have a child. He hasn't taken assistance from an equal. There is no one equal to him. And there's nobody above him. So conclude by saying, Allahu Akbar. And on that note, Allah ends the chapter. وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. Also, we recited yesterday one thing that I wanted to mention. So these are logical things we need to know when we're speaking about the Qudrat, the greatness of Allah. We're in a discussion or a debate. There are a lot of principles in the Quran in terms of debating. There are a lot of principles. وَإِنَّا أَوْ إِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَىٰ هُدًى أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. You see, the approach of the Quran in debate is very, very diplomatic and polite. The Quran didn't say, tell them that you are astray and we are right. Say to them, one of us are guided and one of us are astray. وَإِنَّا, because if you say you're burning already, who's going to listen to you?
وَإِنَّا أَوْ إِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَىٰ هُدًى أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ.
And one of us, and today we concluded the 16 juz.
فَسَتَعْلَمْ قُلْ كُلٌّ مُتَرَبِّسٌ فَتَرَبَّسُ.
Listen, everybody is waiting for Qiyamah for that results to come. We also wait and you also wait. Let's see, Qiyamah will decide who was right and who was wrong. So we know what the truth is, but to use a general and a neutral approach which is non-offensive. In English, they use the term euphemism. To use a term that is less objectionable or which is implicit instead of something that is explicit. So you are sensitive to your audience. And they say it's etymology, I read it somewhere, it's a Greek word. You meaning good and firm meaning speech. So good speech, so politeness. So if you look into the pattern and the rhythm of the Quran, you will find these messages, how the Quran teaches you to debate and engage in discussion. Also there in the 15 juz we discussed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ.
That everything in the heavens and the earth praise Allah. And then in the 22nd juz, Allah says that it was the miracle of Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam that the mountains used to read with him. The birds used to stop in mid-air and read. So the Mufassirin have raised the question that this verse says everything praises Allah, while another verse suggests that the mountains praising Allah was the miracle of Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam. So how do you reconcile between this? And Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi has answered this question. And I read this, I said, Subhanallah, this is knowledge. He said, it's so amazing. He said, it is not the miracle of Dawood that the mountains read, nor is it the miracle of Dawood. But when Dawood alayhi salam read, it was a known thing. But he said, that's not the miracle of Dawood alayhi salam, nor is it the miracle of Dawood that the birds praised Allah. Because the Quran is categoric that everything praises Allah perpetually. However, the miracle of Dawood alayhi salam was such that when the mountains were in his company, their praises became audible to the human. So they're praising Allah now also. And the birds are praising Allah now also. But in the presence of Dawud alayhi salam, Sahaba used to say, we're sitting with Nabi alayhi salam, وَإِنَّا لَنَسْمَعُ تَسْبِيحَ الطَّعَامِ. We're sitting and we could actually hear the food on the table before Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam consuming it, praising Allah. Imagine that. How often, what happens? We're sitting on what the stomach is making, gurgur. I don't know, maybe a medical word for that also. Right? That's what you're hearing. You're not hearing anything else. Said we sit in and we could hear the food praising Allah. تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ. Then we recited another verse. I mean, I'm just selecting few verses because I find it very relevant in our context, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the ungrateful nature of man. And the ungrateful nature of man is not a verse of the Quran, it's a theme of the Quran. Understand what I'm saying? There's a big difference between the two. The ungratefulness of man is not a verse of the Quran, it's one of the themes of the Quran. It features right across, from beginning to end, from middle till end, this chapter, that chapter. This man is full of arrogance and ungratefulness. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ قَتُورًا وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. He is very, very ungrateful. But this is the point that I want to draw the analogy close to home. So the context of the analogy is back with the Arabs traveling on water. And this is also a very integral principle of teaching. I often give this when I have to conduct some workshops for parents or more for guardians and teachers, that in the methodology of the Quran, we discover that when you speak into an audience, you must speak in a context that is relevant to that climate. This is one of the great messages of the Quran. So the Quran, whenever it gave parables and examples, and it's rich with examples. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. The concluding verses of the 20th Juz Surah An-Kabut. And indeed, these are the examples and the parables we discuss in the Quran. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu said, عَقَلْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَلْفَ مِثَالٍ. I myself learned 1,000 examples from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Ibn Kathir says, وَهَذِهِ مَنْقَبَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ لِعَمَرِ ابْنِ الْعَاسِ. And this is one of the greatest accolades of Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, that directly he learned 1,000 examples. So to expound on a theory, an example is the best thing. But when I give an example, the pattern, the rhythm, the methodology of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Quran is relevant to that audience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He told the Arabs to reflect over His greatness, while every animal was a manifestation of the glory of Allah, but Allah singled out the camel. أَفَلَا يَنْذُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ أَفَلَا يَنْذُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ. Why don't you look at the camel and marvel at my greatness? The camel could be understood by the professional, by the Bedouin, by the young, by the old. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about, I don't want to go into academics here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about that there won't be an iota of exploitation and oppression on the day of Qiyamah, then Allah used the date pit. And Allah has used three words from the date pit. You know, وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا and قِتْمِير. قِتْمِير, نَقِير and فَتِيل. These are three things. If you break a date pit, mashallah, in the Arabic language, you see it. Now this in the dictionaries, they show it as well. If you're into Arabic, you will know the richness of this language. So one refers, when you split the date, then there is a fine hair in between, fatil. That is what the Quran speaks about. And Allah says, I won't even oppress to that extent. So in the description of an iota, Allah gave, and when I read this here, I said, my word, our deen is so rich. Allah could have given 1,000 examples, but that which was easy to digest by the Arab. So it makes of a great teacher, it makes of a brilliant tutor, it makes of a profound orator. When he's addressing an audience, he provides examples conducive to that environment. And we deduce this message from the text of the Quran. Fatila. Then we have naqir. And we have qitmir. One refers to, there is like a plastic image on it. A slight plastic feeling. Allah speaks of that. And there is dots. There is dots on the date pit. Allah refers to that as well. So these are but one, two examples that the Quran has used. Otherwise, there are many, many other examples that the description has to be in context with that environment. You know, today there's workshops, and you know that one brother, he told me, Sheikh, I'm going for a marriage workshop. I said, whether you attend a marriage workshop or not, marriage is a workshop. He's like, what do you mean? I said, men work, woman shop. He said, I'm going for a marriage workshop. I said, bye, you go, you don't go, it is a workshop. Like, what you mean? Like in men work, woman shop. Oh, okay, right, like that. No, this is like a serious workshop. Okay, right, good luck. So they have this teaching things, and they have these workshops. And so a few times I had to address, like at Muslim schools in Australia as well, even here to the staff complement. And really, it's all this flowery language and drawing board and visual and PowerPoints and body language. But our deen is rich. After all, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Bu'ithtu mu'allima. My Allah educated me and inspired me with the necessary skills, and He made me the best teacher, then He sent me. My Allah made me a teacher and sent me. So, I mean, for me to learn how to teach and how to reach out, I mean, the theory is there. It's a matter of implementing the theory. But the theory, Bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. Bu'ithtu mu'allima. My Allah has sent me as a teacher. So the example in this ayah, I've digressed here, but to put back things into focus, the context of this is to the Arab. But I want to draw the parable home closer to understanding. We were talking about the theme of ungratefulness.
ربكم الذي يزجي لكم الفلك في البحر لتبتغوا من فضله إنه كان بكم رحيما وإذا مسكم الضر في البحر ضل من تدعون إلا إياه فلما نجاكم إلى البر أعرضتم وكان الإنسان كفورا.
Allah says, you are in the center of the ocean. The tides are rough. The waters are stormy. The views are obscured. Things are gone into panic mode. At that time, you forget your deities and you call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you really scream out to Him. And there remains no atheist and there remains no agnostic. One brother told me a very beautiful thing and I said, may Allah reward you for that. The words of yours will ring in my ears. He said, what's the most difficult thing in the life of an atheist? I said, tell me. He says, after owning everything, he has nobody to thank. I said, oh man, that was so deep. It's like, you know, when something good happens, sometimes you want to like, Allah, jazakallah. You don't say that because jazakallah means may Allah reward you. Allah, may Allah reward you. So obviously there's no logic to that. But your body screams out to Allah. That is why in Shariat we have sajda to shukr, and that is the prostration of gratitude. You just drop down immediately. Your inner feelings just compel you. Now imagine you achieve, something good happens, but you, according to you, there's no God and there's no deity. So that's the most hollow moment. That's the most dull moment. That's the most confusing moment in the life of an atheist and an agnostic, that he has these things, but hang on. But then according to me, there's no one. Who do I turn to? Ya Rab, Ya Rab. What a sad moment. What a depressed moment. So Allah says, you're in the center of the ocean, and then the waters come and it's tight, the tides are high and the waters are stormy and rough. And then you turn to me, and then you forget everybody else. And then I give you amnesty and I give you safety and I take you to shore. And no sooner you get to shore, you revolt and you rebel. And it's not the first time you've done this, you only do this constantly. Now, then Allah uses this here, and then I'll tell you how I want to, you know, use this as an explanation.
Afa amintum an yakhsifa bikum janib al-bar aw yursila alaykum hasiba.
Allah says, so how did you naively come at this decision that you have to be in the depth of the ocean surrounded by tides and stormy water? Then only you are in my clutch and grip and close to death. And once you're on shore, you are out of my grip. So now you can do what you want to. Who said, as the depth of the ocean is mine and under my control, so are the shores mine and so is the land mine. Now let's simplify the parable. So here is a person in intensive care. He's in high care, right? You know what? I don't know why they keep this TV here also. Astaghfirullah. Give me a tasbih, please. My kazan namaz is now, this thing is worrying me a lot, man. This thing is now bothering me, you know. You know, now I'm just thinking now, you know, this sadqa of mine, now just explain to me properly, man. Oh, mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. And then when he comes out of this year, and the phrase of shore is a general ward. And now the music is blasting, and his eyes are fixed onto this year, and the salah are going, and there's intermingling. It's like, are you only in the grip of Allah and close to death if you're in ICU where medically they have put a higher alert on you and they have mobilized some surgeons around you? And when you're in a general ward, it's like now you're outside and the angel of death has to back off from the equation? Why do you change your attitude? The Quran says, Afa amintum, afa amintum. I mean, this ayat gives me a shiver on my body. Afa amintum an yakhsifa bikum janib al-bar. Why do you feel the land is not in my control? Why are you only crying out in desperation in the depth of the ocean? Why your tone is different in ICU and in general ward? Is it time to sigh and indulge? Is it time to perpetrate and commit offenses? أَفَأَمِنْتُمْ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمْ جَانِبَ الْبَرِّ أَوْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُوا لَكُمْ وَكِيلًا. And then Allah says, ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُوا لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا بِهِ تَبِيعًا. This ayah gives off the supremacy of Allah. Allah says, I can do whatever I want and nobody has any recourse against me. ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُوا لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا بِهِ تَبِيعًا. There's no recourse against me. Allah is the sovereign being, He's the absolute being. So this gives us an indication of the ungrateful nature of man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the grateful servants, those that appreciate His bounties. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam said, Ya Rabbi, kayfa ashkuruka wa shukri laka ni'ma. Oh my Allah, I'm just grappling and battling. How do I fully display gratitude to you? Because when I am grateful to you, which you have instructed me to do, then that gratefulness also happens through your bounty. So I am obligated to you in being grateful to you. Allah said, now you have been grateful to me, Dawood. When you have displayed gratitude on every level and you've exhausted all the avenues and you've confessed your inability, now you're grateful. Al-an shakartani ya Dawood. So that was one ayah that I wanted to mention. Then there was another ayah we recited yesterday about tahajjud. We know tahajjud, the nocturnal prayer, the prayer by night, the reward for this is immense. The Quran says amongst the many benefits of this is
إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْأً وَأَقْوَ مُقِيلًا.
Verily, the vigil by night, the prayer by night is the most effective in crushing your ego. أَشَدُّ وَطْأً وَوِطَاءً. وَطَأَ يَتِئُ to crush. أَشَدُّ وَطْأً. In crushing, in destroying your ego, that prayer by night is very effective. وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. And your utterances are very focused because it's very peaceful, there's no disturbance, there's no interference. So you're literally having an open, clean, focused heart and mind with your Creator. And over and above that, إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the day you have so many activities and engagements, so free the night for the worship of Allah. Now, there is something here, it's academic, but inshallah I'll simplify it. Allah told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Quran, and this makes us understand the richness and the lofty rank of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah said, that perform the tahajjud prayer by night, nafilatal lak. This is extra for you exclusively, right? Now again, I told you, this is the Mufassireen. May Allah reward them, may Allah favor them, may Allah bless them. They, when I say they dissect and unpack every letter of the Quran, just to give you a simple thing. Say for example, Allah Ta'ala, when Allah speaks about cutting the hands of a person who commits theft. So Allah says, As-sariqu was-sariqatu, the male thief and the female thief. Then when it comes to adultery, Allah says the adulteress and then the adulterer. Now they will probe the curiosity why in the aspect of stealing, Allah comes with the male gender first and then the female. But when it comes to adultery, Allah comes with the female first and then the male. Nothing is coincidence in the Quran. Why did Allah opt for the male and they will go to it? It's really academic and it will fly way above your head. So I don't even walk that road. I'm just trying to just expose you to what I want to say. So anyway, Allah says the night prayer is extra for you, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whereas we know that the night prayer, the tahajjud prayer is extra and optional for everyone. Nafil in Arabic literally means za'id, extra. You know, Allah referred to, Allah told Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ نَافِلَ وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا صَالِحِينَ. That he was asking for a son and we gave him a grandson. And if I may make a loose translation of Nafila, we gave him Bansela. Can I say Bansela? Loose translation, just to understand what I'm saying here. So Allah says the night prayer is extra for you. Subhanallah. It's extra for me, but Allah says it's extra for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Mufassireen and Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has given many opinions, but this particular one stood out for me. He says so beautifully that it is extra for every one of us in the sense that it's not obligatory, it's not mandatory. But for every one of us besides Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that extra prayer will serve as an expiation and atonement for the shortfall in my obligatory prayers. So my farz is obviously there's a shortfall in my farz. So my night prayer, as much as it's extra and optional, but it's not all that extra. A married man with children, when he gets a 13 check, it's an extra check, but it doesn't mean more money in his pocket. That means he pays more installments. So yeah, extra in the sense more than every month, but not extra in the sense we can splash more. I've got to pay more. That's it. You know, on the lighter note, that guy came home and he told his wife, I got a 13 check. And just then the freezer packed up. So the next year when he came home, I got a bonus check. Why? I don't want the microwave to hear. None of the microwave gives in here. So that's it. So it's extra apparently, but in reality it's not. But O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, when you offer the night prayer, then this is literally extra for you. Because there is no downfall, there is no shortfall, there is no minus, so there is no atonement. It is only extra for you. Nafilatan lak. For you, it is literally extra, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a saving for you. That's a bonus for you. That's a separate account for you. That doesn't offset any minuses, because there are no minuses in your life. Minus applies to me. Minus applies to you, my brother, with respect. In the vocabulary of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no minus. There is no minus. So tahajjud is an extra prayer. And obviously we've been encouraged and we've been exhorted. When Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi passed away, someone seen him in a dream and asked him, how did you fare before Allah? He said, halakatil ibarat wa faniyatil isharat wa ma nafa'ana illa rukay'at. That none of my prayers, my books I wrote were rejected, my prayers were rejected, my hajj was not accepted. Allah said, Junaid, I'm going to pity you because of that prayer you used to perform in the late hours of the night. And that's the prerogative of Allah. And that's the choice of Allah. Huh? When you go and apply, I mean, I've been through all these embassies and I know all these signs and everything that's written there. The ambassador reserves the right. And you forfeit your funds. And we don't have to give you an explanation. That's it. You've applied, we're not obliged to answer. If we decline, we decline. That's our choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the supreme being. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those that perform the tahajjud prayer. Then obviously we recited the incident of Surah Kahf. We know the very famous incident that was mentioned there. And I told you, I haven't even started with the 16 Jews. But just, you know, these are few ayat that came to my mind. So these were great youth. These were amazing youth. These were youth that devoted their life to the services of deen. When people devote their lives to deen, Allah doesn't only make greatness and merit and blessings in their character, Allah has attached blessing to their names also. In the footnotes of Jalalain, which is the famous tafsir, I read it myself, that these seven youngsters, and for the record, the pronunciation of the names are not common. It was obviously very different. Tamlikha, Miksalmina, Ushtuana, very, very uncommon names. But they are names, it's recorded in the footnotes of Jalalain. The scholars have consensus that to mention these names brings blessing in the homes. If you read these names by a child that is restless and has tantrums, it will soothe that child. This is the blessings. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has quoted the chapter in his second volume that with the names of the participants of Badr. And he has said that whoever will take the names of that sahaba who participated in Badr and make dua, Allah will accept all his duas. So this is how Allah preserves those who die for his cause, that Allah adds value and blessings and merit in their names. Their name itself brings goodness, leave alone their life and their legacy. That has it. Muhammad ibn Wasi' al-Azdi was a great scholar. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi used to say, lil umara'i qurra wa lil aghniya'i qurra wa inna Muhammad ibn Wasi' lamin qurra'i rahman. Some are the readers of wealthy people, others are the readers of prominent people, and surely this man was the reader of Allah. So there was one person, he used to say, kuntu idha wahantu fil ibadah wa kasaltu fil ibadah. When I used to become weak in my ibadat, lethargic in my ibadat, lame in my, I used to only look at this man. I didn't have to sit, I didn't have to greet, I only used to look at him, and instantly my soul used to be energized to worship Allah for weeks on end. كُنْتُ إِذَا نَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ وَاسِعِ تَنَشَّتُ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ أَسَابِيعِ. For weeks on end, I used to just look at him. Our situation is that even if you are on optimum, you look, you anticlimax. Rather don't look. That whole spirit will cave down. So these were great people, the blessings. These were youngsters. Yesterday I spoke about peer pressure, but these were people that didn't succumb to peer pressure. And they were part of the royal family. These were not ordinary youngsters. They were part of the royal family. They had the royal dress. They had the royal garb. They had the amenities. They had the luxuries. They had everything at their disposal. And the greater your sacrifice, proportionately is your reward. That is why when Fir'aun's wife Asiya, the obedient slave of Allah, Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, when she brought iman on Allah, some narrations say Pharaoh had dropped a boulder on her chest, and others say he was on the verge of dropping it, and before that her soul had left. But look at how she negotiated with Allah.
وضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون إذ قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة.
Oh my Allah, I'm my price of iman, I am giving up a royal life, Allah. I'm the first lady. I have all done for me, my Allah. But I've seen the truth. I am giving up this year. Allah, you build my palace in the highest Jannah. Allah, you build my palace in the highest Jannah. Rabbi ibni li indaka baytan fil Jannah. So these were youth who knew what they were up to. And the Quran said, وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ, when they moved away. And this is again a principle we deduce from the Quran, and we recited it today in the 16 Jews also. When Sayyidina Ibrahim was with his father and they were idol worshipping, and he realized that there is an influence here, فَلَمَّا اَعْتَزَلَهُمْ, he said, you know what, I cannot stay here any longer because this environment is now tainting my iman. And we need to become cautious about this. I said it to many people. I say, if there is a shop across your house and you need to buy a loaf of bread there, and it's more convenient and it's more cheap, but perhaps there's a woman working there upon which you have an infatuation, over which you have a crush, and you know that every time you go there, you are exposing your vulnerability. You are exposing your weakness. Then it would be in your interest to hop in your car and go to the distant shop and pay the extra rand. That will be cheaper for you because it will be preserving your iman and maintaining your bond with Allah. If you will be going close here and spending that money and convenience, but you know every visit there will be destroying your iman, that's not going to help you. So what did they do? They said, we cannot stay here in this environment. A youngster, I'm hanging out with my friends. You can hang out with them, my brother, as long as you're saving the drowning man. But if he's pulling you stronger and he's sucking you into the water, then you're no longer going to be a lifesaver, my brother. He's going to draw you in. And you need to make the call. I'm hanging out with these friends. Am I getting closer to my Allah? Or am I learning more about the world? Has my view changed? Am I coming in and upgrading my house and my furniture? What's my likes? What's my priorities? Have I become more lax on the intake of halal? Have I become more lax with congregational prayer? Hang on, am I moving with the right blokes? Am I traveling with the right people? Is this what I want in my life? Because the influences are not coming positive. Suddenly vulgar is now a norm in my life. Suddenly chatting with the opposite gender is cool. No, these are loud signs that I got to detach. وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ, when you realize that you needed to detach from them. وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, the very famous hadith that we read in Riyadh al-Salihin, when that person had committed the sins and he went to the pious person, what did he say? وَلَا تَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِكْ فَإِنَّهَا أَرْضُ سُوءٍ إِنْطَلِقْ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِ فُلَانِ فَإِنَّ فِيهَا أُنَاسٌ يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ فَاعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مَعْهُمْ, that go to a place where Allah is being worshipped, the environment is conducive, that will support and cushion you in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these youngsters, they made a call, and amazingly, they were seven, right? We don't want to go into all the details, it's a whole chapter of the Quran. But they had no coordination amongst themselves. Each one of them had this inner dislike to what they were observing. So they moved away, and they moved away, and they moved away. And the common thread of submitting to Allah brought them together. So the one nudged the other, and he said, please don't spy on me, but I'm asking you, brother, what are you doing here? He said, I've just seen the sin and the vice and the transgression of my nation, and I can't be part of them. And he said, by Allah, keep mine's a secret, the same thing has taken me away. And suddenly they became together, and they were now, that is why they say, what's the definition of one ummah? Ummah doesn't mean common ethnicity. Ummah doesn't mean common language. Ummah doesn't mean common complexion. And ummah doesn't mean common background. And ummah means diverse in their language, diverse in their culture, diverse in their ethnicity, common in their vision, common in their goal, common in their desire. So, what did the Arabic poet say? La tatrukit
التقوى اتكالا على النسب فقد رفع الإسلام سلمان فارس وقد وضع الشرك الشريف أبا لهب.
That don't abandon taqwa, relying on the nobility of your lineage. Because it is Islam that elevated the Persian Salman, and it is polytheism that disgraced the honorable Abu Lahab. So Salman Farsi was part of the whole army, part of the ummah. It was the common vision, and they took one side, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them strength. And subhanallah, you know, this is the thing. Man kana lillahi kana Allahu lahu. And perhaps I'll wrap up on this note to conclude on a point. That whoever becomes for Allah, Allah will become his. That this is a saying, this is a known thing. And in Arabic they say, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَارَقْتَهُ عِوَضٌ وَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ إِنْ فَارَقْتَهُ مِنْ عِوَضِي. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَارَقْتَهُ عِوَضٌ. Oh, what an amazing statement. Whatever you lose in life can be substituted and replaced. But oh boy, when you lost your Allah, I'm afraid there's no replacement. So listen, I'm not saying, if my wife is putting pressure for me against my Allah, or my son, or my boss, I don't want to lose you, but I can live with losing you. Watch my words. I'm not saying I want to lose you, but I can live with losing you. Whoever. Vice versa, if the husband is putting pressure on the wife against Allah or the son. Listen, my boy, I love you and I want to be with you and we want to make this thing work together. But if you're telling me I must choose between you and Allah, I can live with losing you. I can't live with losing Allah. Because I can have a replacement to you, but there is no replacement to Allah. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَارَقْتَهُ عِوَضٌ. There is a substitute to anything that you lose. وَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ إِنْ فَارَقْتَهُ مِنْ عِوَضِي. But when you lose your Allah, there is no replacement. Now look at how Allah takes care of these people. Individually, one need of it. So they go to sleep and they take shelter in this cave of theirs because they just isolate from the people. Right? And today's youngsters are taking, what do you say, uppers and then downers and then I don't know what and what. I had to, earlier this year, I went to the rehab there and they invited me to give a talk, man. I was so moved to tears. Oh, I went to the rehab and I don't think I spoke to such a diverse audience, right? I'm speaking to youngsters at the age of 12 and I'm speaking to people at the age of 60s that are like my grandfather or my father, you know, so elderly. And each one's dependence and addictions are different. And they are soft people, they are good people, right? They've got caught up with events, circumstances. And as you're talking and you touch on certain sore nerves, and then you just see how they're sobbing and sobbing. And obviously the theme of your talk is only hope and hope and hope because they are fragile, they're at the point of rehabilitation, so you don't want to give any negative message. But at heart they are good people. But obviously circumstances, someone left the firm, some left the company, some brought the whole family into disrepute, what and what. And after the talk was over, I started chit-chatting with them and each one of them starts crying his heart out. And then you say, Ya Allah, you know, where has the ummah gone? Once upon a time, where the youth were and where the youth have fallen. So we're taking pills and we're taking this. Look at these youth, under obedience of Allah, they went into this cave of theirs to take amnesty and shelter. And subhanallah, I cannot pamper my baby and comfort my child and avoid disturbance for my child as Allah brought divine intervention in place to accommodate the peaceful sleep of these youth. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تقرضهم ذات الشمال وهم في فجوة من. Really, we need to become Allah's and Allah will become ours. You know, when a child is sleeping, then you take the additional precautions, you cover the curtains, you're off the bell, and all things are put in place, and even the wife will put pressure on the husband. Salaam alaikum. Good, hang on, man. Somebody else's house, am I invading here? Okay, right. No problem, my wife, I understand it's your child. Fair enough, I respect it. Allah said, when they were sleeping, I told the sun to change its focus and to rise in a way going beyond the cave so that the rays of the early morning sun mustn't disturb the sleep of this youth. Read the Quran.
read the Quran. وَتَّرَّ الشَّمْسِ وَتَّرَّ الشَّمْسِ. And if you observe the sun, إِذَا طَلَعَتْ, as it rose, تَزَاوَرْ. تَزَاوَرْ again, now it's academic. عَنْ, the sila, so it comes as إعراض. Otherwise it means to meet. تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ. It was instructed to avert the cave. It was under command to go beyond, so that they are not disturbed. Open the curtain and see how that guy sways you. He's sleeping. Sometimes sleeping in the plane, somebody opens a shutter. Yo. You know, in some of these planes, they create that stars image on the cabin also. Like, you know, literally stars in daylight. وَتَّرَ الشَّمْسَ إِذَا, read the Quran. Every year that I speak, I said it now in Australia, I said, I can never give you the whole Quran if in my lessons I can activate within you the zeal to study Quran, and I'm a happy man. I'm a happy man. If I can leave you thirsty with the candy dangling there, and now that thirst prompts you to go out to research, then I'm a happy man. I feel, because I cannot, how can I tell you? I'm like touching on the iceberg. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. And when it set also, it was given the command that even the evening rays mustn't disturb them. وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ. And they remain in the broad area of this cave. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. These are but the signs of Allah. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ. The one who Allah guides surely remains guided. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ. And the one whom Allah misleads. فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. Unite the reformers of the world, none will able to guide him. I leave one quote for the youth. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, حَدَّثَنَا هَيْثَمْ. He said, we heard from Haytham. He said, حَدَّثَنَا إِسْمَعِيلُ ibn عَيَاشْ. He said, we heard from إِسْمَعِيلُ ibn عَيَاشْ. عَنْ عَدِي الْبَهْرَانِي. Who mentioned from Adi Bahrani, who said, عَنْ يَزِيدِ ibn مَيْسَرَى. Who heard from يَزِيدِ ibn مَيْسَرَى. And يَزِيدِ ibn مَيْسَرَى used to say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ. Allah Ta'ala says, أَيُّهَا الشَّابُ التَّارِكُ شَهْوَتَهُ لِي الْمُتَبَذِّلُ شَبَابَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي أَنْتَ عِنْدِي كَبَعْضِ مَلَائِكَتِي. أَيُّهَا الشَّابُ. Oh my Allah, you take my message. I met one brother in Sydney now. I walked into the masjid, he came running and he hugged me. He said, may Allah reward you. I never thought I'll meet you. I was like, okay, where are you? I said, I've been following you. And you gave one talk on the youth that changed my whole life. I sat down, I cried, he made me cry. I said, Allah, I don't know where I gave it, how it was transmitted, but today you brought this news to me, it just makes me tear. So I'm optimistic Allah will take my sentiments to the furthest point of the globe. What did he say? أَيُّهَا الشَّابُ. Oh young man. أَتَّارِكُ شَهْوَتَهُ لِي. Who abandons his passion for my pleasure. الْمُتَبَذِّلُ شَبَابَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. Who channels his talent in my obedience. أَنْتَ عِنْدِي كَبَعْضِ مَلَائِكَتِي. You rank in my eyes on par with my creation, the angels. You rank in my eyes like my pure creation, the angels. May Allah grant us the understanding. Wa akhirat.
Buy Islamic media, CDs, CD-ROMs, MP3s, and DVDs at SoakIslam.com. Secure online shopping available 24 hours a day. That's SoakIslam. SOUKISLAM.com.